Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 28, the words of our Lord. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Back when my parents were newly married, my father was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, serving some churches, small churches up in some towns in northern Minnesota, Bagley and Langby up in that area. And there just so happened to be another Lutheran church nearby that was without a pastor. There was a vacancy. And a lady from that congregation contacted my dad one day and said, I have a problem I'd like to talk to you about and like you to talk to my family about. She said, I don't have a pastor right now, so I was hoping you could give me some counsel. And she came and met with him and said that she was considering having an abortion. Now, this is in the early 50s, and abortion was not legal yet. Roe versus Wade wouldn't happen until the mid-70s. And but she asked, could you possibly come and speak with my family about this? We're trying to understand something. Apparently what had happened was that she had contracted German measles during her pregnancy, and especially in the first trimester, that can be very serious, potentially to cause birth defects in the child. And one of those potentially being blindness. And apparently her doctor had said to her, even though abortion was illegal, I have a way of taking care of your problem if you want. I can find you another doctor in the area that would be willing to do this for you if you'd like to end this pregnancy. So she and her husband and the family at large were considering this. So my father went to meet with them. There were six people there, each sets of parents for the two of them. And he brought along a number of Bible passages to speak to them about this subject. I've printed them on your bulletin for today. Let's just look at them, okay? These were ones that he gave to them. From Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Job 31, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? Psalm 139, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And then from Luke 1, during the time of Mary's pregnancy with our Lord. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. So based on those types of texts that my father read to this couple and to their parents who were all assembled, and apparently they were rather divided on the subject as to how to consider it. There were some in the room that felt she should get this abortion and others that felt not. And my father left the meeting that night, kind of not knowing what the decision would be. He later took a call to a church down in Iowa, that's where I was born, and years later took a call here to Bethany College. And when I was about 13 years old, so this is now about 20 years later, he was asked to come back to that church he had once served in northern Minnesota in order to speak and preach for an anniversary. And apparently they'd had a picture of him in the newspaper that he was coming to preach again. And this woman showed up at this anniversary service specifically to see my dad. And after the service, there was a meal. And I remember vaguely a woman talking to him. I didn't know why until years later. But she came up and approached my father. And she said, I don't know if you remember me, but you came to counsel me and my family about having an abortion years ago. And my dad said, Sorry, but I don't remember. And she refreshed his memory. He said, oh, I do kind of remember that now. What happened? And she said, well, based upon the passages that you brought to me that night, and the next Sunday, our new pastor was installed, or had been installed, and his first sermon was this text, Luke 11, 28. Look at it again, where Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And she said, based upon the text that you showed me and based upon that passage, I decided to give birth to my baby. She said, I want to show you a picture of her. So she took out her wallet and she had a photograph of her now 19 or plus year old daughter. And she said, everything was fine with her, no birth defects. And she said, what was really amazing is everybody compliments her on how beautiful her eyes are. But she said, the real reason that I came and hunted you down today was not just to show you this and to tell you this, but I wanted to let you know that this was the only baby I was ever able to have. And I would never have known the joy of being a mother if it were not for your counsel that night. The Word of God is an amazing thing. Think about how God brought all things into existence, the universe, everything about it, just by speaking His powerful Word. Your very body and your being right now, the breath that fills your lungs, the food that you eat, all of that is sustained and upheld by the powerful Word of God. It's an amazing thing. And it's through that powerful Word that God likewise, in a spiritual way, goes down into our hearts and teaches us the truth about our fallen condition, just how deeply wicked and fallen away from Him that we are on our own. We would never know that by ourselves. That's something His Word, through the Holy Spirit, needs to impress down into us. But it's that same wonderful Word that leads us to the cross of our Savior, our Lord Jesus, who is the very Word made flesh. Think of that. The very Word that was God, that brought the world into existence, John says, became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ Himself is the embodiment of that Word of God, our very Savior who went to the cross to pay for our sins, who lived the perfect life we couldn't live so we could have a righteous record before God someday. So that powerful Word of God is the very thing that we continue to hear and listen to as believers and has created this faith in our hearts and will someday ultimately take us to the gates of heaven and lead us out of death to life, as our closing hymn will say. So we often associate the blessings of God's Word with getting us to heaven, and that's truly the greatest thing. But it also brings blessings in this life, as that woman discovered. Our sinful human nature likes to think that we know better than God and what His Word would tell us about how we live our lives and things. But it's important for us to always remember that God will never, ever give us a command or anything to do with our lives on this earth that will harm us. He will never give us a command that will be ultimately a negative for us. There will always be a blessing attached to that. And when faith is awakened in us to appreciate and cherish this Word of God in our lives and in our hearts, it will always be for our good and for our blessing. And we see that sprinkled throughout the Scriptures. Cases where people followed God's Word even in very difficult circumstances, even in places where it appeared it would never help them. And yet God ultimately works that out to their benefit and for our good. So what a blessing it is that we have been given this gift of God's Word. And may we always cherish it, may we always appreciate it and treasure it and obey it. And we have the perfect obedience of it in our Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh. And someday we will sing God's praises in heaven and be so grateful for having given us this holy Word. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Today we'd like to keep in our prayers the citizens of Ukraine, as you know, are facing horrible conflict and aggression from a neighboring country. And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the God of all peace, it is your gracious will that your children on earth would live together in harmony and peace. Defeat the plans of all of those who would stir up violence and strife. Destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed. And according to your will, end all conflicts in the world. Today we specially come before you on behalf of the believers in Christ, who are now struggling in the country of Ukraine. Be with them and guide and protect them. And help each of us by your Word and Holy Spirit to search our hearts and to root out the evil that would lead to strife and discord, so that in our lives we may be at peace with all people. Fill us with zeal for the work of your church around the world and the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, which alone can bring that peace which is beyond all human understanding. We pray this all in our Lord's sacred name. Amen.